Blog Talk Radio.
Guy Talk Decoded. Got your guy Jay here. B-Shit's on the line. Back after a week off. We're going to eventually get our schedules together here eventually and get this thing consistent. And I think we talked about last time rolling this thing on iTunes. But I guess we can talk about this in the show. How's it going, B-Shit?
Yeah. How's it going, buddy? Hopefully the iTunes thing rolling. Like I said, for now we have Twitter. Guy Talk Decoded, excuse me, on Twitter. All one word.
You check that out on the Twitter. What's new, man? It's been about 2 weeks. I heard we might have some good news and we've had some bad news in your life. You want to share some of that stuff?
Well, the bad news is I think all of my electronics are horrible. I think they're all garbage, not necessarily because of what they are, but just my connection with the show always seems like it's something every week. So I'm not sure. That's something we'll have to work on as we go. I'm hardwired in right now for anybody who's listening. Normally I am just using my Wi-Fi, but I had to call into the show because for some reason, I couldn't get the get onto the host part of the site, but that's just normal technical difficulties for us. So that's horrible. The fact that I only have 3 beers left—that's horrible too. But as far as good news, I mean, the job search for me is going better. I'm on the verge of closing in on the job, so I can get off Uncle Sam's back. No more
good
unemployment.
News. Congratulations.
No, thank you. Yeah, it's good news. And, I look forward to getting out of my house. I've been doing a lot of drinking and playing video games. I mean, I don't know how many times I could play Call of Duty on my Xbox One online or the campaign. It just gets old after a while, sitting at home doing the same thing. So I'm looking forward to going back to work. Also, my wife bought a new vehicle. And we've discussed this a little bit, but my wife bought a vehicle over our break. We upgraded from a piece of shit Jeep to a newer model Jeep. That's a 2006 Jeep Commander. And you could probably attest to this, but you know how you have an older vehicle and then you go out to buy a newer vehicle, and it's not a brand new vehicle, but when you get it, you treat it like it's brand new. I mean, like it has no miles on it, which is not the case for me. But, I mean, and I've heard you say you were going car shopping as well. So maybe you can attest to that a little bit. I don't know if you're going to get a brand new car, though.
I'm looking at a couple of different cars here. Maybe I'll get your opinion on what you think I should get. I don't know. Do you know what I currently drive?
Wasn't it like an Audi or...
I drive an Audi A4 right now.
Yeah.
I'm the Oscar
of the
show.
Slinging dick mobiles. Now, were you leasing this vehicle, or was it you just
found it? Yeah, the Audi I currently have is leased. I think leasing is the way to go. I buy a new car anywhere between. Let me see. This car I've had for a little over 2 years. The previous car I had for 8 months before I bought this car. So I buy cars fairly often.
So you...
But... I'm looking at an Audi A5.
You buy a new car every 2 to 4 years. What you tell?
Yeah, it's kind of like it's. I like the part of buying cars. If that makes sense.
Don't get a minivan because you're single, so you don't need to get a minivan and ruin your game. Don't get a Beater.
I don't want to pull a Pastry Dan, if those of you guys are familiar with Big Orange Show. I wouldn't want to do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, don't get a Pastry Dan. What was wrong with the Audi where you wanted to get a new one, or is it just because of the lease situation? Or?
No, I've got a year and a half left on my lease. But I just think it's time for a new car. You know, I'm getting a little tired of what I got today, and I want to go out and, you know, experience what's out there and get something new.
Not
to sound like a fucking douchebag or anything. I mean,
yeah, that's not
douchebaggery
at all.
I feel like I'm being portrayed as that because I like nice things.
So what?
These
what
are the things I
work
for in my life. What was that?
What vehicles have you looked at so far? Have you test driven anything, or have you looked at anything?
I've test driven an Audi S3, an Audi S4, and an Audi A5. I've test driven a Volkswagen GTI, and I've test driven a Subaru WRX.
So you want a car. So you're not a truck man. You're not a Jeep man. You're not a fucking minivan person. You're a fucking car person. And you want something that's fast, that can make you look more like a swinging dick, that can get you a lot of women. That's what I'm getting out of this. You want something that looks like a high-roller car.
That's the ultimate goal. I just want her to just swing right in and swing right out. You know, as I hit a speed bump, I can just throw her off the side door.
I would stick with Audi because you seem like you're Mr. Audi. I would just upgrade. Sometimes it's not about the brand; it's just a need to upgrade and to get some better features, some more features. I mean, maybe you need I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you already have compared to what. I mean, do you have like a backup camera in your car already in your current vehicle?
I have. Sorry if you hear me chewing. I'm eating peanut butter. This is my breakfast. I haven't eaten anything all day. I have a backup camera. I have navigation. I've got keyless start, keyless entry. I got mostly everything in my car.
So what would an upgrade give you that you don't already have?
Well, the GTI is a little bit less expensive. And I like the interior a little better, and I like the engine a little better, and it gives me more a sportier feel. That's all I'm really.
So you said a sportier feel.
So, at any rate, we'll wait for him to get back. As he dials back in, the one thing I did want to talk about was the loss of the Cowboys. And the fact that, your boy Bishes, who's going to be joining us back here in a second, is a Cowboys fan. And they seem to have lost, and it looks like they're going to re-sign their coach. And some other things are going to be happening surrounding, him and his team. So just to fill you back in there, Bishes, to fill some time here, what I did want to talk to you about was your team and its loss this past Sunday.
Oh, I should just hang up the phone then. But before you talk about that, if anybody wants to donate to the show, I mean, just donate so I could upgrade my piece of shit. just go ahead and send out a tweet to me over on the Twitter. like I said, got to talk to Cody, and then we'll talk. Any equipment is taken, and I'll use it. I don't care what it is at this point.
I hadn't realized for about 14 seconds I was talking to my lonesome. I heard some shuffling.
Well, I mean, I'm looking down, and it says call had dropped. So I don't know. I'm going to have to start making some phone calls here, and I'm going to have to upgrade all of my shit. This is what I'm looking at.
Well,
I plan on doing it anyway. But
We do pay to do this podcast. I pay monthly to allow us to do this podcast at the times we're allowed to do it and the amount of times we're supposed to do it. And I just think their service needs to be a little bit better on their end. You know, they should be more inept. If we're paying this company money to do this, what we have passion for this podcast, you know, where's the assistance on there? Why am I giving them money every month to do this podcast?
I don't know. We're not the smartest group of people, I guess. I mean, it is what it is. But either way, it's free for all of you that are listening. It's a free podcast, FREE.
So yeah,
to bring up your point about the Cowboys, I had this fast football right now. I could give a fuck who wins tomorrow. I think at the end of the day, I don't care. I don't. Like, I've already put all my Cowboys jerseys and stuff away. It's buried in the closet. Maybe I'll pull out next year. And that's kind of my ritual every year. When the Cowboys get to the point of where they're at, I'll put it back in the closet. And I won't look at it. I won't wear it. I won't dry clean it. I might wash it. And it sits there. That call was BS. It was a catch. That's just call a spade a spade. At the end of the day, it was a fucking catch. And everybody knows it was a catch. And it has something to do with the Lions paying off the rest, I think. Or somebody paid off the rest again. And that's the story that I feel comfortable with using because I think that's what happened.
Let's talk about the previous week with the Lions and the call that was the pass interference that was picked up, and we all know that was pass interference. Is this just karma coming back against the Cowboys?
It's too consistent to be karma. Karma doesn't always come back around on somebody that quick and in the same way. Karma to me would be the Cowboys make it to the Super Bowl. And maybe, I don't know, maybe the same thing happens there. I mean, that would be the worst-case scenario, wouldn't it? I mean, for any Cowboy fan or anybody who's a fan of a team who's got karma on their back.
Or the worst-case scenario is it happens the very next week while it's fresh in everyone else's mind. And, I mean, what was your thoughts on the fucking Lions tweeting the Cowboys going, you know, we know how I feel?
I feel like karma's going right back to them again. They're going to find themselves in the hole, and they won't win a game. They won't win. They won't make it to another playoff for another 2 or 3 years. If something happens, I mean, my personal opinion, just about karma in general, if something happens in life, think about your daily life. Whenever somebody did you wrong, you're like, well, it'll come back around and bite them. When the situation turns and it comes around to bite them, I mean, really, are you going to fucking, you know, are you going to fucking sit there and start it back up again, you know, by saying, making a comment. And to me, I think that's what it is. I think the Cowboys are a classy team, probably the classiest team, and one of the classiest teams in all sports. And I think that, you know, they handled it well. Yeah, I believe so. And, I, you know, Jason Garrett could have easily just went off the handle. He didn't. He just said, all right, he re-signed his contract and said, all right, we'll come back next year, we'll do it again. Very, very classy, coach, very classy team. But anyway, we're still better than the rest.
Fuck you. when you look at it, he's been there, what, 6 or so years? He's been there since the Wade Phillips days. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator when Wade Phillips was the head coach. And he's had what everybody thinks, you know, Tony Romo, which is supposed to be this amazing guy, as his quarterback. When is it going to be your time, man? Or is it just constantly cheering for a team that when you've never been there, when you never lived there?
Like I said, that was the game with Green Bay this year was very close. We always play Green Bay hard, just like we play the fucking Redskins hard, even though they're pieces of shit. They always seem to pull one out of their ass. So the same thing here is I think with every year the Cowboys are inching closer and closer every year. It's coming.
And I can at least, to my personal opinion, is Tony Romo will make it to a Super Bowl before it's all said and done, before everything, before all the shit hits the fan, before he gets too old and gets crippled, he's going to at least make it to one of those Super Bowl games. So, I mean, we're thinking about that kind of just... What was that?
I said, but will he be playing for the Cowboys when that happens?
Oh, yeah. I think he's gonna easily retire with the Cowboys. Tony Romo's not – nobody else would pick him up for anything if he can't succeed in Dallas. I mean, that's just the obvious – to me, that's the obvious answer. I mean, either he makes it or his career's done. You know, there's no jumping teams and somebody actually cares. You know, he wouldn't even be a good backup quarterback with all the injuries he has. So, I mean, maybe the Redskins will pick him up because the Redskins will pick anybody up. The Redskins will take me and you and alternate us on the fucking field and get the same.
I hear a lot of Redskins jokes. I hear a lot of Redskins jokes. We'll see. So I've done my move today. What have you eaten today? I'm kind of hungry. I'm in the mood to eat. What have you eaten today?
I went to IHOP this morning and went with a group of friends. But went there this morning. I had, you know, my go. Yeah, I mean, I love IHOP. My go-to. I get my blueberry pancakes, sausage, eggs, hash browns. I just fill it up with multiple things, bacon, everything.
Yeah.
And just load it up.
I just put a split down the middle of my jeans. You were talking about that. It was fucking that breakfast food. I've got some Jimmy John's on the way.
I like Jimmy John's.
They're delivering it, and I'll probably receive it live on the air, and I can give a full review on Jimmy John's sandwich as I scarf it down immediately down my throat until I choke.
Well, then if they're delivering it, you should do like some type of weird reverse home maneuver, and just give us some entertainment if it was to be on air.
We can do it. We'll make it happen.
That'd be funny.
So it's been an eventful couple of weeks. You know, some shit has gone down, some shit has not happened. But I thought it was interesting that Bill Cosby actually did a couple of shows in Canada and is coming down to Colorado to perform. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think you said, if I'm not mistaken, he should just take his money and be by himself and not draw so much attention. But he doesn't seem to be willing to do that. He wants to stay in the spotlight. What are your thoughts on, you know, Bill Cosby still doing performances out in the wild?
He's going to quickly turn into some type of O.J. Simpson type where there will never be any evidence against him. He'll continue to try to go out there. People are going to hate him. You're still going to have that very small percentage, I think, that are going to like him. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's no way that many women are going to lie, say that you raped or used or abused them in some form or fashion. It's not possible. Me and you are regular guys, and even with me out of the equation, you're a single person. In your lifetime, there's no way, even if you lived at the Playboy Mansion, there's no way you're going to have that many allegations against you. Just because you're not famous. No, at the end of the day, these bras, doesn't matter if it's the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, these bras want someone famous. So to me, it goes hand in hand. And, you know, at the end of the day, you got to look at it this way. Bill Cosby at that age, or any man at that age, especially a black man at that age, is going to be thinking with the wrong head. You got more money than Jesus. You're at the top of your game, and everybody wants to fuck you. At the end of the day, there's no way that maybe some of them are blown out of proportion, but there's no way that a majority of that can't be even slightly true, enough to ruin his career. He's an idiot. He needs to fess up and then go hide somewhere and take whatever money he has left. And that's just my personal opinion on it, but I think he needs to go ahead and put an end to this.
Just to clarify for everybody, if you haven't been paying attention, it's, you know, allegedly Bill Cosby has been accused basically drugging and raping women live in the alley. Hold on one second. It looks like Jimmy Johnson will be calling us right now. Hold on one second. Hello.
Hello, Jimmy Johns. I'm outside of the gate. some reason, the 3161?
Yeah, the pound 3161.
Wait, what was that?
Pound 3161.
I'm on the left side gate.
Yeah, but did you try pound 3161?
Pound 3161?
Yeah. This is the shit I deal with. Can you hear this? Okay, thank you.
Sorry about that.
All right, bye-bye. This is the ass I deal with on a daily basis. Could you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that through the intercom.
How is it impossible for somebody to figure out how a door works to come deliver my food? How is that possible?
Well, where is Jimmy John located? Is it like right down the street?
It's a couple blocks away.
He should know about these type of intercom systems there all the time. That makes no sense. You should call him out on it when he gets up there.
I'm going to get my sandwich and stuff it down my pants before I do that.
Okay, well, fair enough.
So allegedly, you know, Bill Cosby has poisoned girls and raped them, and now he's performing, and he's out in the open, and I don't know, if, you know, I guess it's just kind of like saying, F you, I didn't do it, and I'm going to live my life, you're not going to control me. At the same time, I just go, you don't need the money, bro. Your kids don't need the money. Your great-grandkids don't need the money. You're rich enough for all of them. Why draw the attention against your name?
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think at the end of the day, I think he thinks if he bows out, it makes him look weak. And I think if he stays in the spotlight, it makes him look strong. And then maybe he'll go away magically on a fucking magical carpet or some bullshit like that. But at the end of the day, it's not. And if he was really not – excuse me. It is alleged until it's proven otherwise. But if he really was that innocent, then he'd be a little more aggressive about talking about it. I mean, if somebody calls you out on something, you'd be a lot more aggressive with dealing with it. You're not going to sit there and just kind of take it and just be like, I don't want to talk about it, you know.
They've got those publicists, though, that go in and they say, this is what you should and shouldn't say, or, you know, this makes you look more guilty, or whatever it may be. And who knows who's in his ear on a day-to-day basis telling him what he should and shouldn't say.
Yeah, and like I said, at the end of the day, it's just unfortunate because if the rumors or the allegations are true, then he could have just – I think him coming back out into the public eye is what sparked it. I think if he had stayed hidden, I think people would have just let it go, and I think it wouldn't have mattered. Or even if it happened, he would have been so far out of the public eye, people wouldn't have paid much attention to it. I think it would have maybe went away. So I think he kind of fucked himself, to be honest.
I agree. You got to be careful not to put yourself in situations like that. And he's got a lot of money, and his wife has come to his defense. And who really knows what's going on in kind of in that world?
Well, it makes her look even worse because now she's sitting there, and she came to his defense maybe a little prematurely, and then maybe she could feel a different way. Who knows? And you know, if that's the case now, then she's fucked because now she's sitting there and she's agreeing with everything he said. It's kind of hard for her to go back on him now because not only does it ruin his career, but it hurts her career too because she's married to him. And so I think it just screws both of them. So I think she's kind of, you know, sitting in his filth, so to speak.
Do you think, let's say this happens to you, do you think your wife sticks by your side?
A religious person, I think she would. I think she'd stick by me.
Even
I think it wouldn't be so much. Yeah, but I don't think it would be so much media driven. If we were famous, I don't think she'd be in the public eye speaking by me, not unless I was like the president or something. I think she would just kind of, you know, behind the scenes do it that way. And I don't think, but I, at the same time, I wouldn't sit back and talk about it, you know. And that's just me. So I feel bad, you know. Kind of feel bad for her because maybe, you know, women are quick to go from point A to point B on things. So maybe in the beginning she thought she was doing the right thing, and then maybe she didn't realize what she got herself into.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like my significant other would know that I'm a nasty human being and I like to stick my tongue in people's fart boxes. and that I could be held accountable for that. I just think it's interesting as you look at it. you know, in Bill Cosby's eyes, with the amount of money he has. I just think the money thing to me just doesn't make any sense. Like, why is he putting himself in this situation or kind of going forward with this or living his life in this way or, you know, doing whatever? And the second question is, his wife is sitting by him and, you know, did he do it? If he did it, is she just defending him just for the sake of doing it?
Yeah, and like I said, I think she it's going to come out on his end. Maybe it won't hit her as hard. Maybe the people will feel sorry for her because of what happened, if it indeed happened and comes out. So I feel bad for her, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's part of life. Now she has to deal with it.
Yeah, that's right.
But the, yeah, well, I found an I think maybe a couple of days ago. I'm trying to pull it up, but I'll basically give you the short version. If I can here. Basically, this guy had sex. It's over in Britain. This guy had sex with a mailbox. He was drunk off his ass. This happened somewhere in the United Kingdom. I'm not sure where. I'm trying to pull up the article now. It is a very interesting article. But basically, he got arrested for indecent exposure and a couple other things. I mean, he had a nice rap sheet on it, but and I can't seem to pull it up right now, unfortunately. But it was a very funny article. But it leads me to my next. It leads me to a pretty good question, and we can all attest to it. But on your most drunken night, what is the worst thing you've ever done? And this guy put his, for lack of a better term, this guy put his dick inside of a mailbox and proceeded to have
Jesus
sex with
Christ.
It. Yes.
With a mailbox?
I mean,
how large was he, or how small was the mailbox, I think is the larger question.
He was an average guy. He's an average white guy. And, you know, the mailbox was a pretty big mailbox, actually. I mean, it was like the Big Bertha of mailboxes. It was a pretty big mailbox. So
was he just doing it for shits and giggles?
No, he was hammered. He was. I went to the bar and I just drank until I blacked out. He was blacked out, hammered. It's very interesting. He got arrested. It's very, you know, he's probably gonna lose everything he worked hard for. There's no way he can come back for something like that. I don't care what country you're in. Like I said, it leads me to an interesting question. If you have to think of one moment, and I'm not saying you have to necessarily be as blacked out drunk as this guy, but what is a moment where you think, you know, your worst moment being drunk? I mean, I doubt you've had sex with mailboxes, as I know I have not.
My worst drunk moment. I've done some dumb shit, though, being drunk. As I eat these crunchy and salty Jimmy chips, jalapeno flavored, I'll tell you my funny story. One time I was really drunk. I kicked all my friends out of my car and I drove home, and I don't remember how I got home. The next morning, I had a meeting at 10 a.m. I woke up at 10:30. I was leading the meeting. Everybody was waiting for me.
Well, there's more.
Well, that's one story. I have some more.
That one seems more tragic. Like, I feel bad for you. Like, I want to, I almost want to give you a hug. Like, that feels like depressing. I don't know. I mean, if I had to name one or several, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, sometimes you look back on it, you laugh. I remember one time I was at a buddy's house, and we have like our type of a gas night. And they had a ton of alcohol there. And with everybody, you have your kryptonite to alcohol. I don't care who you are. You got your kryptonite. So, I mean, I was drinking everything, you know, and I drank literally everything he had. But he had this one bottle that didn't have a label on it, or the label was backwards or whatever. And I drink it. And I drink it like I drink a beer, you know? And I didn't think anything of it. And then by the time I started feeling it, I'm like, holy shit, I'm fucking drunk off my ass. I said it was that bottle. I said
it was that fucking bottle. What the fuck is it? He turns it around, and I don't know. I think maybe the label was turned around, but he said tequila, and I see the box it came in, and I said that's fucking tequila, and I don't care who you are. Everybody has a kryptonite when it comes to alcohol. My kryptonite is fucking tequila. So I didn't let it faze me. I said, okay, whatever. I didn't touch that again. I just drank beer and stuff, but it didn't take but 2 seconds. And before I knew it, it was hangover style. I woke up the next morning. I wasn't naked, but I had my wife beater on, and I was passed out on this dude's couch. People were passed out everywhere, on the floor, the bed, everywhere. Bottles lying everywhere. Bottles were empty. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, what happened? I look up, and it's like 3 or 4 a.m., and I'm thinking, or maybe it was like 7 a.m., actually. And I'm like, what happened? I look around. I look on the couch, and long story short, I threw up all over this dude's couch. But here's the funny thing. The couch belongs to his then-girlfriend. And I didn't know this that night, but those two were on the rocks, basically Splitsville, because she wasn't at the party. So they were at Splitsville anyway, and I threw up on her couch. And I didn't know it at that moment, but I looked back like the next day or two when I realized that, and I laughed. And all I do is remember is waking up thinking, oh, shit, you know, and, like, my shoes were missing, my shirt was missing. I couldn't find fucking anything. And here I am trying to scrub his couch clean. And, you know, I can't clean the totem, and long story short, he's a little pissed off, and he's like, well, whatever. And long story short, I got as much as I could off, and I just flipped the cushion over, and then I left. But there's another move. That was a dick move. But then there's another part to it where, and this is a true story, I went home, hungover, my head was dropping, I felt like shit. And then my roommate is sitting there, and he's drinking. Like, my roommate, and I would love to have him on the show one day, but he's a drinker. Like, this dude would go through a handle of Jim Beam in 2 days. Like, this dude was a straight-up alcoholic. But he was cool as shit. So when I was living there, he drank all the time. But I walked in and told him, oh, yeah, I blacked out, had all types of issues, blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, well, you know, the best cure is, you know, the hair of the dog. So I was like, the hair of the dog? He said, yeah, the hair of the dog. So, long story short, he gave me something to drink, and I'm drinking, and then afterwards, he laughed at me, and I said, why are you laughing? And it was fucking more fucking vodka. He pulled out the bottle, and he laughed at me, and sure. I swear on my Bud Light, I swear on whatever, I'm telling you right now, I passed out from then till 9 o'clock that night after he gave me that shot. I did not wake up from 9 o'clock. I got home at 7 in the morning, and I passed out until about 9 a.m.
All right. You know what? The flipping over the couch, that's a dick move. But I find it pretty fucking hilarious. But I forgot about this one story from last year. You remember last year it snowed a bunch? We had a lot of snow days from work. You know, well, I did at least snow. It snowed. We didn't
mm-hmm.
It was like going to school. So I called my boss up, and I said, hey, man, what are you doing? I was like, let's go out for a drink, right? It was one of the bad snows, so most of the restaurants were closed. But we found Uncle Julio's in Fairfax that was open. So we drove out to Uncle Julio's. It was about noon, and they make this lovely drink. It's called a Meltdown. It's a mix of frozen sangria and frozen margarita with 2 shots of Grand Marnier on top.
Ooh.
Okay. So my girlfriend was there, my friend and his girlfriend there, my boss was there. We started drinking and ordered some food. I closed my first tab. My first tab was $200. His first tab was $150. So we had quite a bit. You could just imagine if my first tab was $200, then I had already had quite a bit to drink.
Yeah.
So these two girls show up and, you know, the one girl gets with my one friend and the other girl gets the other friend. It's only two girls. I'm the lone man out. And we start buying them drinks. We start buying them meltdowns. At this point, I'm 5 meltdowns in. He's 5 meltdowns in. And the girls are 2 shots in and 1 meltdown in. So everybody's fucked up at this point. The girl turns to my boss and goes, I'm going to fuck you tonight. And my friend's going to fuck your friend tonight. Mm. And that's how it's going to go down. So this shit starts happening. You know, me, I'm like, all right, well, where's old Jeremy? You know what I mean? At this point, my girlfriend is at the end of the table asleep. Passed the fuck out. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She's drank too much. She's passed out. So my friend takes her and his girlfriend home, and it's just me and my boss, my other friend, the three of us, and the two girls. So I turn to one girl. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, oh, my friend Victoria, she would love you. That's my roommate. I'm like, well, what the fuck's going on? Tell her to come on down. You know, tell her to come on down. And she calls her friend Victoria. Her friend Victoria brings a friend. And at this point, the girls were so fucked up. The first two girls we were there with are in the bathroom throwing up. In Don Julio's, won't come out. We don't see them again for the rest of the night. It's 6 o'clock. I don't see them for the rest of the night. So Victoria shows up, and this is thick black chick. I mean, she's pretty nice. You know, and I'm just in it for fun. You know, my girl is there. I'm not trying to do anything crazy. You know, but I'm trying to have some good conversation. I felt left out. She's saying she's going to fuck my boss. I wanted somebody to fuck, you know, just to say I had somebody I could fuck. You know what I mean? You ever just felt left out? So at that point,
you had lefty and righty though, so you weren't left out. You were just on a different playing field.
So black chick shows up, and I'm like, all right, here we go. This is my time. You know, time to put on Suave Jeremy. You know, Suave J. I gotta come right in. I gotta show him what I'm working with, and I gotta pull away. I gotta get the number, get the address, and we're gonna go back to the hotel tonight. Well, I don't know. About 8 o'clock was on, and I realized I'm fucked up. Shit. I mean, I am fucked up. I'm talking about I can't stand up. I'm falling off the stool. The bartender's asking me if I'm driving home and if I'm all right. I mean, I'm at that point. I'm slurring my fucking words.
You're about to black out.
I'm about to black out. And the last thing I remember saying to her was, where do you work? And she goes, I don't like to work. I didn't go, where the fuck do you work? I just start cursing at her. You know, I get belligerent, and I wake up the next morning, and I have to call out of work because I'm throwing up. I'm completely hungover. I can't function. And my boss calls me. He's like, what the fuck was up with night, man? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, we were leaving, and I go, all right. You gave her a hug, and you go, I could pick you up. And she goes, no, don't do it. And I go, no, I'm going to pick you up. And I just pick this chick up and start cracking her back. Midair in the middle of this restaurant. I'm so fucking drunk. I'm picking up this chick I just met that night. I'm cracking her back. Literally just, I'll crack your back. And she's screaming at me, put you down. I'm so drunk. I'm blacked out. I don't remember. I mean, that's probably one of my funniest stories. Not as funny as your story where you flipped over somebody's couch cushion. But that's about the best story I can put in from my standpoint.
Well, yeah, you're a horrible human being. You're a salty lemon. I threw up on a couch. You're Bill Cosby. I'm just that asshole at the party that throws up on a gas couch. And that's not my first time throwing up on a couch, my friend. So the minute I come up to old Seattle, I'm going to have to go ahead and break in your couch, too, and go ahead and
christen
it.
It's leather. So
that's okay. Don't wipe right off. But let's talk about your, for the sake of conversation, kids, don't put your dick in trash cans. I don't care if it's an American trash can. I don't care if it's a fucking England trash can. I don't care if it's a Caribbean trash can. Don't put your dick in the trash can. Keep it out. So that's my public service for this. But let's talk about your birthday. You had a birthday last week. Congratulations. Happy birthday or belated birthday. I think you're what, 24, 25? You're right around there.
25.
Oh, you're at that. You're looking down. Everything is downhill from 25. Trust me, I know.
I would tend to agree.
Well, I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, and maybe it's my opinion, but that's the way it is. I think you're going, you know, you'll see it. You'll get your first gray hair.
I'm already gray. My hair is already, I'm about 25%. I'm about 25% gray right now.
Really? Good Lord. Stress, I guess. that's crazy. I didn't get my first gray hair until I was, I think, 25.
I've been gray since 16.
Oh, well, then you were over the hill years ago then. But, I mean, it's not too bad being 25. I mean, you know, it's just go ahead and sow your wild oats now, buddy. So for the next, you got 5 more years left to do whatever you got to do.
before you start feeling it. But it's a great age. But I want to get your take on whatever it is you did to celebrate 2-5. What did you do to celebrate the 2-5?
Well, I'm gonna say this. First off, the shit hit the fan last Friday night. And what I mean by that is, you know, my sister texted me first thing in the morning and goes, how does it feel to be the last day you're going to be able to think that you're young? And I went, when you say, oh, I talk, you know, hey, blah, 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 some 24-year-old, you think 24-year-old is like a young person, you know? They're young, they're out doing stuff. When you say blah, 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 25-year-old, that's a grown-ass man. And I don't know if you agree with that, but when you hear 25, that's a grown ass goddamn man.
Mm-hmm.
If there ever was a man that was grown, it's a man that's 25. So I got a little down on myself. It was like that over the hill. That quarter century really, you know, at that point, you just say, you know, I'm an adult. So with that being said, and me kind of thinking I'm getting old, I celebrate my birthday with a brunch, and nothing says old like celebrating your birthday with a brunch. Am I right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even think I celebrated a brunch until I was, like, 29. But I definitely agree with you. And, yeah, it's tough. And so your only other memorable birthday coming up is going to be 30. And I promise you 30 is going to be depressing. I mean, when I turned 30 a couple years ago, I sat around and said, oh, 30, you know, I was like Jay-Z, 30 is the new 20 and all that other fucking horse shit. And then as you get older, you realize, no, it's not the new 20. It's the new fucking 40 because you feel like shit.
Well,
but
I went out that night to a bar and, you know, I watched the game and I got some food. I got some pie. I mean, I had a good time. I mean, but I just, you know, I don't know if birthdays are that big of a deal to me anymore. And if I want to go out and, like, do crazy things, or if I just want to, like, 25, man, you know, when I was 16, 17, 18, I always said I wanted to be done having kids by the time I'm 25.
Yeah, and you have no kids. And but don't feel bad. I'm 32. I have no kids either. So,
you
know,
we're going to be as you get older, though, you realize that's a stupid decision to have kids so young.
Yeah, if you're not ready, yes, I agree with you. I think it just depends on the age. It depends on your age. You're not your age, but your maturity, your level of maturity at whatever age you are. A lot of males are thinking the
and
wrong
your financial
age
status. And your financial status.
Yeah, I agree with you. When I was 25, there's no way I could have took care of another life. And you know, you got to be really. I don't even know what the word is. You just have to be. You got to be really about your shit, you know, in order to have a family. And you got to be ready. You just know when you're ready to do that. But at 25, no, I was not ready for settling down. I was still in the nightclubs at 25. I was in D.C. hanging out at various nightclubs and drinking my ass off and having a good old time. So I would say I wouldn't even think about any of that. I would just continue doing what you're doing, but slowly build for your empowerment.
That's what I'm trying to do. As I have my mouth full with the turkey, bacon, whole wheat sandwich.
Oh, so you're trying to. How's the dieting and exercising and all that shit going? I'm sure that was one of your New Year's resolutions.
It was my 25th birthday resolution.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. But you will realize that buying health foods like that gets expensive as fuck. I mean, it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter how cheap you try to go, it's very expensive to eat healthy. That's why a lot of people just go to McDonald's, they get on the fucking dollar menu, and they say, I feel like, you know, they look at themselves and they fucking feel ashamed, and then they just say, fuck it, you know, and they go into a dark room and eat their quarter pounder with cheese. Or maybe it's just me that does that. But, you do it for a couple of weeks and you realize, okay, I'm spending double my money in food just to eat healthier or to feel like I'm eating healthier. But I do wish you a lot of luck. I think I'm going to just hit the gym. I'm going to be the guy in the gym who fucking pumps out for 2 hours, and then I'm going to fucking go to McDonald's and fucking give me a Big Mac and call it a day. That's my regimen.
I mean, all I really do in terms of my diet is I cook everything, you know? I'll cook chicken breast. I'll cook steak. I'll cook salmon. I'll cook pork chops. And it all comes out good. And I just eat it with, I don't eat carbs. I just try to eat it with, you know, spinach, or I try to eat with broccoli. And things are just good. I'm not trying to change my life. I love food, and I want my food to taste good. I can't be fucking around with food that's not good. I'm not always going to eat salads. That's not what I'm about. I enjoy salads, but
yeah,
that's not what I'm about.
Well, I mean, on top of that, you got to learn to get rid of, like your ground beef should be ground turkey. I mean, that's something my wife does all the fucking time. Everything I eat in this house, and my wife does pretty good. And I'll be honest with you, before I got married, it was just, I'm not going to lie to you, I feel a little ashamed to say this, but I ate out every night. Every night I'd either go to Burger King or McDonald's, or I'd go to fucking Chick-fil-A or KFC. It didn't matter, as long as the food had grease in it. I would go there and I would eat, and I gained a lot of weight and I looked stupid. But now, you know, I don't eat out nowhere near as much, and my wife cooks, and she tries to cook healthier and feed me all the shit that I don't like. And we use ground turkey for everything, tacos, burgers. It doesn't matter what it is. And most of it, to be honest with you, tastes the same. It's all psychology at the end of the day. When you're trying to lose weight, you eat healthy. A little bit of money, but there's a lot of psychology to it. You just have to get used to it. You know, you eat the shit to get healthier.
Yeah. Last night I went out to a bar. I had a nice turkey burger, which wasn't a turkey burger. It was just grilled chicken breast. It was delicious.
Oh. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of chicken. I'm a big fan of breast. I mean, you put the two together, it's great.
I'm a big fan of breast.
Yeah. But it sounds like a good time. I'm glad you had a good time. I think, I think 25 is just a mile marker, you know, so just keep on doing
what
you do.
This is why I got to go to Asia so I can get a wife. I'm ready. I think I'm ready, man. I think it's time for me to settle down.
You said you think it's time for you to settle down?
I think it's time for you to settle down.
No. I can't say yes or no, but it's just you gotta realize what settling down means and what you have to do to settle down. You have to satisfy one woman, and then on top of that, you have to get your bills in order, and then you got to go find a fucking house. And I mean, you can't travel the world. I mean, how many states or countries, but how many states do you go fly in and out of, like, on a three-month basis? I mean, women don't like that. They don't like it when you travel, especially without them. They don't like that. So it's a lot to it. So I'm not saying not to settle down, but ease your way into it. It can get tricky.
I agree. Number one, I'll never stop traveling. I'll never stop traveling. Number two, I'll never buy a house.
When you say that, it makes me think, okay, well, traveling means you're going to go places. Not buying a house means you're not settling down. A house is a symbol of settling down, as far as I've ever known it to be. You know, it's kind of, you know, I'm not saying that you can't settle down and be in a relationship with somebody who also travels. I mean, that would be the best bet. But if somebody truly wants to settle down, they're going to want the fucking house with the fucking picket fence, the fucking 3.5 kids. Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck 3.5 kids are. How do you have a half a kid? You know, you can't be half pregnant. I fucking get it. I hate that saying. And then on top of that, they expect you to fucking buy them a new car every 4 years, not lease, but buy, and they expect you to rub their feet, be home to rub their feet every night. So I don't know how you're going to manage to pull all that off.
I imagine that I will, whoever I meet, in my opinion, as I go out here and I look for people to go meet, you look at, I'm going to look for somebody who has, you know, a career and a life, and I believe in being selfish. And what I mean by that is, I should be able to be selfish, they should be able to be selfish, and we should both be happy together with us both being selfish. Meaning that, like, we could do what we want to do, and we're happy with that.
I understand what you're saying, but here's the thing on that, man. You can't – women say that. Even in the beginning, some women may say that, but then they'll go back on that you know, after the fact. Then they'll just be like, hey, you know, it's not so much, it's more emotion. Women can be emotional. Men can too, I guess, but women can be emotional, so they can go back on that. So at one point, things may seem like this, but then it turns into something else. So you can't, you got to have a backup plan of that. And what I mean by that is you need to realize that if that shit does hit the fan, what are you going to do? How are you going to react to it? How are you going to deal with it if that happens? If you, you know, if you're traveling and your chick says, yeah, that's fine, you can travel, then all of a sudden you get the fucking 100 phone calls a night saying, where are you at, who are you with, are you cheating on me, and all this other crap. And then all of you realize, hey, that's not the type of woman I thought I married or settled down with, whatever. And then all of a sudden you find yourself dealing with that. And, I mean, I'm not dealing with that personally, but, I mean, I know people that do deal with that. It's not always a mesh made, or it's not always 100%. Sometimes it's 98.5%.
Well, I think you get – it's an 80-20 rule, you know. You're always going to be missing about 20% of what you want. But be careful not to look for that 20% and find yourself missing 80% of what you wanted. My last girlfriend, great girlfriend, she didn't care when I traveled, where I traveled. She didn't care that I worked a lot, but she didn't complain. She wasn't jealous. She wasn't asking where I was always at. Her true faults and my biggest thing are she wasn't very responsible. She wasn't an adult yet. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that she's younger than I am, and she didn't cook, she didn't clean, and she didn't manage her bills. Those, I mean, that's a big 20%, but the things that matters to me was the fact that I got to do what I wanted to do, and there wasn't a ton of kind of pushback, and it was right for the time of my life. But now that I'm older, you know, I want somebody who can cook, but also doesn't care about, you know, where I go and stuff like that. It's tough to find that, but, I mean, that's the whole point of looking for a relationship, right?
Yeah, and like I said, in my marriage, it was the same way. And I remember when me and my wife were dating, it was the same idea. I had said, hey, this is who I am, you know, and my wife is, she could sit back, have a drink, laugh, joke, but at the same time, she loves to go to church. She's a church girl. She grew up a church girl. And in my personal opinion, church girls are one of those girls that you want to have. I mean, I would never want a girl who, I would never want to marry a woman who is a bigger drinker than me or spends more time hanging out at a bar than me. To me, that's a big turnoff for me. But that was also what we discussed. We discussed things like that. Hey, I mean, this is who I am. So don't expect, okay, now that, you know, I mean, you're going to grow and change throughout a marriage or relationship or whatever. But, when, and I put it out there, I wouldn't want anybody to force me to be somebody else or something else. At the end of the day, let me mature the way I mature, but accept me for who I am. And that's one of the things, like, I think a lot of dismissing a relationship, a lot of people don't sit down and actually talk to the other person. I sit down and I talk, and I talk to my wife all the time, but even beforehand, we knew what we are. And now being, you know, married 2 years deep, basically it's great. I mean, you have your little moments and disagreements. I mean, that's to be with anybody. But for overall, she goes out, does her thing. I say, hey, honey, I'm going out tonight. I'm going to the bar, dudes, and, you know, my boys, and drinking some beer, blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, okay, you know, if I don't, hey, honey, I'm not going to church today. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to do my podcast. Okay. You know, whatever. I mean, so, you know, you're not going to, like you said, there's going to be that 20 or 30%, but at the same time, all you got to do is sit there and a lot of it's communication, but you got, if it's somebody that you vibe with, that communication has to be there from the beginning, and it can't disperse. I feel like Dr. Phil. And I'm not a Dr. Phil fan at all. But anyway, but I'm not trying to get off long-winded to that. But so, long story short, you're young, bang as many chicks as you can. I mean, bang away. And then figure everything else out later. See, I can do good advice.
I tend to agree. I'm going to say this, and we'll have to talk about this tomorrow, but I'll say this, and this would be my hardest find in the whole world. I read an author and a columnist, and I follow a columnist named Dan Savage. He actually lives in Seattle, and I pay very close attention to him. But he has a term that we can discuss tomorrow, and it's monogamish. You know, you have I'm monogamous, and then you have I'm monogam-ish. So it's kind of like you're in a, you know, and that's what I believe in. I believe that you should be able to explore outside of your relationship for sexual reasons. And we can't really discuss it now because we only got about 3 minutes left in the show, but I think that's a good topic for tomorrow morning or your afternoon. It'd be my 9 a.m., your 1 a.m. start, and we can really get a kick off the show talking about monogamish as a topic to start with.
Yeah, and I think that'll be good. Also tomorrow, I would like to discuss, and I was reading this article, and I'm a big fan, as you were real quick about, I'm a big fan of Michael Jordan. I'm a big fan of Charles Barkley. Growing up, those are two of my five favorite basketball players ever.
Yep.
But long story short, they had a bromance, and we'll go into the whole bromance thing, and I'll get your thoughts on a bromance. But there was a nice article I read. I think it was on SI.com. And it talked about a falling out they had had. And it was a pretty good article, but I kind of laughed at a lot of the quotes and stuff I saw. Tomorrow we'll also talk about that. And maybe we'll do a couple top fives tomorrow. We'll talk about the playoffs and whatever else. We'll take phone calls if anybody wants to call in. Jeremy, anything else you want to add?
Oh, that's it, man. I think we're going to get you in tomorrow. Today was just kind of getting back in the swing of things. Expect a good show tomorrow, a strong show, strong topic-based shows, and some good top fives, and me not eating or accepting food in the middle of the show from assholes who don't know how to get inside of an apartment building.
Yeah, and like I said, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/guytalkdecoded. You can post funny pictures. Just don't post anything stupid or else I'll block you. and that's all I really got to plug. I'm going to go out and have me a good time tonight, Jay.
You're going out with friends tonight, I remember.
Yeah,
you're going out with friends tonight, right?
Or I'm going to go out and try to get hammered because I am not driving. Be responsible.
Yeah, be responsible. I would like for you to go get hammered. I'm going to go to the Filipino market and try to find my wife. I'm sure there's at least four Filipino women there who will be suitors for me. After I get off the show, it's still only about 4 o'clock here, so we'll see what that turns into as we head out. But just like to say thank you everybody for listening. Twitter, it's @GuyTalkDecoded. Support the show. We'd love some callers as we go forward. 213-325-3434. In the future, that is the host calling, and I lied. It's 347-945-5760. That's 347-945-5760. Let's get some calls here. Let's get interactive going on here. Let's get this take this podcast to the next level. I'm ready to go on the radio show. Let's go on 95.3, 96.7. Let's get a station going here. Somebody's got to pick us up. We got some hot talk radio, and we're gonna kill it.
Or worst case scenario, number one on iTunes. I'll take that any day of the week.
All right, guys, we're out.
All right.